Moncrief on News Talk.
The way it used to be, if you were an aspirant comedian, was to do some open mics, go to the Edinburgh Festival in the hope of getting noticed and hopefully end up on television. But because of social media, that hardly happens anymore. Kyla Cobbler is one of that new generation. Kyla, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
But your online life started as kind of it was a blog or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, kind of. It was just like a daily kind of chat because it was during the time where influencers and bloggers were huge in Ireland and they were portraying this life as a woman that was very curated. So I just felt there was a niche for somebody normal to pop in and show the everyday. I took the opportunity.
And when you were doing it, where were you? Because you live in Barcelona.
I was in Milan at the time.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, so I lived in Milan.
Trotting around the place. And what were you doing for a living?
I worked actually in fashion in Milan, but I was always waitressing and bartending in the evenings and always worked in hospitality. I loved it.
Okay. Worked in fashion.
Yeah. Can you not tell?
Doing what? When people say work in fashion,
I worked in Dolce & Gabbana. I like properly worked in the high fashion. Yeah, just selling. Like I was a leather specialist. So I used to do like python skins.
Okay.
I know that sounds very...
I'm a leather specialist. I'm like, a huge online fashion.
Not the right time.
Maybe not. So then how did that then turn into kind of doing bits?
I just started doing... So I was doing the online stuff and I never kind of even considered it comedy. It was just me having a bit of crack and connecting with people at home because I missed like actual crack. And it grew and grew. And then I started doing like characters and using the filters. And I used to do this character called Aurora O'Rourke, which was an influencer. And yeah, it just grew really naturally. And then I got asked to do a podcast by another comedian, Mike Rice. And he actually called me a comedian. And I'd never done stand-up. And I was like, I'm not a comedian. And he's like, you're not a stand-up, but you are a comedian. I mean, you're putting stuff out there. And I was like, oh my gosh. And then we were at an open mic and... between me and you, I really fancied Mike. I really wanted to impress him. Mm-hmm. I had an open mic and all the audience, there was 15 people and they're all Italian. And he is like, you should go up and do it in Italian. And I was like, yeah, good idea. So I went up and in Italian, I just said to the audience, I have no idea what I'm doing, but I'm trying to impress this man. So if you could just get involved here and do me a solid. And sure, they loved it then. They loved the crack.
And like, so lots of laughing. And Mike wasn't aware that this was what was going on.
Lots of laughing, no jokes. It was a win-win.
Fantastic. Was it a win-win?
No, it absolutely was not. But he's like one of my best friends now. So that's good too.
Oh no, friend zoned. That's terrible. But then you did migrate into doing actual stand-up.
Yeah,
I assume that was kind of like,
terrifying.
I have all this following online and now they'll actually pay to come and see me.
Yeah, they didn't pay for ages. I wish. I started doing stand-up then in English and... You know what? I wish I could sit here and tell you that I did my first one and it was amazing, but it wasn't. It was really hard and it's a really difficult thing to do. And yeah, it just took a while to get used to it. But I don't know, something kept calling me back to it. And have you ever done anything like on stage and stuff?
No.
It's a buzz.
Yeah.
You really feel alive, as sad as that sounds. But you know what I mean? Like it's a real buzz. So I just kind of kept going back to it. But I was kind of one foot in, one foot out. And then my granny Mona died, God rest her soul. And I got to stay with her last night here on earth. And I remember she's like 97. And I was sitting there watching her. And I was like, I got to do it, right? I just got to jump because I'm going to die. So I was like, you know, I'm just going to like really try. And then, because sometimes it's easier just not to try and say, well, whatever, it wasn't really my thing. Because it's hard to try and it's hard to fail. So I was like, I didn't really want to put myself out there. But then I just kind of decided to do it. And then it all just kind of came. Really, it was like, I did it. And then the universe was like, yeah, good for you. Now I'm going to reward you with all these things. And now I'm here on News Talk.
But you have a 250,000 followers.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
That's nuts.
It's so madness.
But you're not making any money from the 250,000 followers.
No, I never monetized. I never monetized it. Because I always wanted to have like my freedom to be what I was. And I think when you work with brands, no judgment and like good for everyone that does it. But when you start working with brands, of course, you're representing something that isn't always your thing, you know.
Yeah.
So for me, it was always really important to keep that space for me in such a toxic world that is Instagram, to keep that space for me as just being able to talk about things as a woman genuinely, you know, and like honestly. And when you're selling like face creams and stuff, unfortunately, you can't always do that.
Yes, I found that too. I assume though it's a kind of, well, loss leader is the wrong way to put it, given how you've described it, but it generates
yeah,
real world people to come to your gigs,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it definitely sells tickets, but then you have to show up, right?
Yeah.
Like you can have lots of followers. I mean, it's currency. Right now in the world we live in, for me, Instagram is just currency, and you have to grow it and feed that monster to be able to, you know, make that into real life. But then when it gets to real life, you also need to, like, I do the open mics. I'm always on stage, always. I'm constantly on stage, you know, because I have to, and I love being on stage, and I put a lot more into my live stand up than I do to my Instagram. 100%.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I suppose that's a skill one hones over time.
Yeah, totally.
Over a long period of time.
It's really nice, because when people come see me and they follow me for a long time, they're like, I'm so glad that you're good. And I'm like, thanks. They're like happy for me,
oh,
you know.
Might people occasionally turn up hoping you're not good?
I guess they don't think I hope, but I guess they're like, oh, she might just be, because some people are just happy that I'm doing something because they followed me for a long time, and it's nice to see someone succeed.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
So they're like being sound, and then they're like, oh my God, you can actually do it. I'm like, yeah, I can do it.
Yeah. And do older stand-ups who maybe have come up through the more traditional system, are they snippy?
I don't know if they're snippy. No, not towards me. I've never experienced on a personal level. I haven't taken any notice, because, I mean, anyone successful isn't really going to be snippy, right? But for sure, people do. I think there's definitely this air of like, you don't have to go through the fringe and you don't have to do this. And I'm like, yeah, but Instagram's not easy, right? Because imagine every open mic you did, it being live, and people like hundreds of people seeing it, or thousands of people are seeing every bad joke, because that's what Instagram is. Like, I put out a reel and sometimes it hits really hard and I get millions of views and loads of followers, and then sometimes I put out a reel and I think about it every night when I go to bed, or how bad it was.
Yes. But can't you take it down?
No, you gotta.
Oh, you gotta leave
gotta
it up there
it.
And
I mean,
suffer.
You don't have to. I don't suffer, but I do think that's a part of the what I do. It's like what I feel I should be doing is like, no, this comes with it. It's like sometimes it's a bad joke, and I find it funny.
Yeah.
Right.
So you bypass the system. You don't have to go to any fringe festivals. No. You don't have to.
No, you can't. I mean, I think it's good to go to the fringes for sure. But I think I didn't have to wait. What I think Instagram and social media has done for comedy is that it's got rid of the gatekeepers. You don't have to go through a middleman to be recognized and seen by production companies or theaters, or, you know, there is no more middleman. And that is an achievement. That's a good thing for artists. Whether people agree with it or not, that is a good thing for artists.
Are you getting that? Are you getting those offers now?
Yeah, yeah. Now I'm making money.
No, but are you meeting with Channel 4 executives and that kind of thing?
Yeah. No, well, I don't meet with anyone but my manager. How cool is that?
All right, okay, your manager does.
No, yeah, for sure. You get to talk to industry people, whereas I would never have before. Because if you think about the Edinburgh Fringe, I mean, you go now. I mean, I don't know anyone in the last few years who've been discovered in the Fringe. It's great. It's great for working on material, and it's a great buzz, and it's a rite of passage, but it's not necessarily, I don't consider it the be all and end all.
Most of it's handing out leaflets to people.
Yeah, and it's expensive, you know that?
Yeah.
It's super expensive.
Absolutely. Where are you appearing next? Would you like to plug a place?
I'm in the Olympia Theatre on the 20th of Easter Sunday, on the 20th of April. Bring eggs.
On Easter Sunday.
That'll be a
spiritually enriching experience, I'm sure.
Totally.
Kyla Cobbler, thanks a million.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.